Welcome back to Chin Music, our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Hey, we have a live show planned September 22nd at the Pizza Luce in Eden Prairie. So it should be easy parking, should be a lot of fun. We've done shows from Talk North down in that region before, and we've always gotten a good crowd out. Come out, ask Roy questions. Roy might even demonstrate some stuff, ask Lavelle some questions, yell at me, whatever you want to do. We would appreciate seeing you. We're going to give you a firm time as the date gets closer. So check back, listen to next week's show or follow us on social media to find out. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Talk North Pod to see all these kinds of updates. But let's get to Joe Ryan's latest start. We're talking here on Thursday. On Wednesday night, he pitched. He pitched very well. Let's start with Roy. What did you see?
Well, a whole bunch of good stuff. good stuff as in good stuff, and good stuff as in really a lot of good things. I just love the fact, I mean, he's a 70% fastball guy. I love that. And now, can he get away with it? Well, first of all, his fastball has some good life, good what they call carry now, late life. Good spin rate, meaning there's less deceleration than what the miles per hour it would look like at a normal fastball, and so he watching the Cleveland hitters, the fastball was totally fooling them, and it wasn't anything other than here it is, see if you can hit this, and the answer was nope, can't, and it was pretty special. I love the fact that he goes right at guys. And he's got this demeanor of, you know what, I think it's hard to hit in the major leagues, and it's way harder to hit when it's 0-1 or 0-2 than it is when it's 2-0 or 3-1. So I'm just going to throw it in there. I mean, it's the demeanor that I wish every pitcher from Little League to the big leagues had, and it was just really fun to watch. He did mix in some nice breaking balls and changeups, just enough to get either outs or further get the hitters off the fastball, and then the fastball got him out. I mean, it just, for a young guy to come up and pitch in a big league game, in two big league games, I mean, he's pitched 12 innings and had 11 scoreless. It pretty remarkable for a guy that, at least on the gun, doesn't throw, 97 with some Pedro Martinez kind of breaking ball and changeup. So, remarkable performance.
And Lavelle, let's go big picture here. Let's allow ourselves to be excited. We all know it's only two big league starts and blah, blah, blah. But let's allow ourselves to be excited. He's a really impressive guy. From the moment I started talking to him in Tokyo, he seems to be a different guy in terms of attitude and makeup and character and all those things. What's the high end for him? And if he reaches that high end, what does it do for this franchise?
I think the high end for Ryan is that he's next year, he's definitely a double-digit win guy. And going down the road, once he gets around the league and gets used to facing major league hitters, he's a guy who could win 13 to 15 games a year and set the tone attitude-wise for a rotation just because of his demeanor and how he goes about pitching. I think that's something that can be infectious and rub off on some of these other starters. We don't know who else the Twins are going to bring in during the offseason, but it looks like, Ryan and Bailey Ober are two guys who, are making themselves look good to be part of the rotation next year. They've got a chance here to establish themselves and be part of this new look rotation that they're going to have next year, because they're going to have no choice but to have a new look rotation. And I like the fact that you have a personality like Ryan's that could possibly play a prominent role in that. Can he continue to do this throwing 70% fastballs? That remains to be seen, especially when teams see him a couple times and prepare for him with a little more information. That's going to be something very interesting. It looks like he only throws about 14% sliders and like 8% curveballs. I like to see him maybe mix in a couple more curveballs, especially for a guy who throws up in the strike zone. If you have a good curveball, you can kind of mess with the eye level of the hitter coming out of that angle. But man, watching him retire all those hitters right off the bat yesterday, it was just. It was it was interesting to watch. I had to stop what I was doing and pay even closer attention to what's going on.
Yeah, what do you mean pay closer attention? I was doing the color analysis last night on the properties. What do you mean you had to stop it? I mean, you weren't paying, you weren't hanging on my every word. What the heck?
Well, where was that? The volume was down where I was at, so I didn't know which words you were saying.
I will say, just to piggyback on what Lavelle's saying, a little bit. I did, you know, not to be, Danny Downer at all. It was a great performance. It was a good performance for all the right reasons, and it looks like it is repeatable and sustainable. But the Cleveland lineup is not the 1927 Yankees. The Cleveland lineup is not even the 2021 Yankees. And so, and neither were the Cubs. So, yes, he's pitched really, really well. But let's just to temper just a little bit. I mean, I don't want to anoint this guy yet for his own good. You know, I don't want to overhype. His next step will be facing a better hitting lineup. The step after that will be facing, you know, everybody the second time they see him, to Lavelle's point. So, you know, he's going to have to make adjustments just like everybody else that gets to the big leagues and stays in the big leagues and keeps evolving. And he's going to have to make adjustments at some point in time as the hitters adjust to him. But the thing about it, having said all that, I mean, I don't want to get overly excited, you know, for another few starts, at least, let's say, a few starts into next year. But it looks repeatable and sustainable because of his demeanor, because of his ability to throw strikes, because of his desire to throw strikes. And I just don't think he's the kind of kid that's going to get scared. Oh, no, they hit my fastball. I'm never throwing another one. I just don't think he's that kind of guy.
And as you pointed out last week, Roy, too, his ability to develop a changeup to get people off that fastball is going to be key for him.
It is, and he threw a couple last night, and they were good ones. And they did. He threw one to Jose Ramirez, and Ramirez took it, and it messed him all up. And then he got fastball by him again. And by the way, speaking of Ramirez, I think that it's important to when you start getting some inklings of a player's makeup, you know, what they have inside of them. Here's a kid that pitched six and a third perfect innings, right? He had a perfect game for six and a third. He gives up a single and to break that up. And some kids would say, okay, I mean, he's thrown a lot of pitches now or getting up there. He's tired. He's emotionally drained. Maybe he has a lapse now. They finally got the hit. And the lapse was he threw the ball away trying to pick a guy off at first base. Now he's got a runner on second. He's got Jose Ramirez and Franmil Reyes, the two bona fide big league hitters in the lineup coming up. And he just calmly gets right back to throwing strikes. He gets Ramirez out, gets Franmil Reyes out. I mean, that's big time stuff right there. Just to give you an idea about his makeup, I think.
And we have a plot twist. The Twins have other pitchers other than Ober and Ryan, who we've talked about a lot last couple of weeks, have actually pitched well. Let's talk about them. We do want to remind you this is TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. If you'd like to sponsor this program or any across the network, and we have tons of outdoor content, we have the best sports analysts in the Twin Cities. We have some new variety shows, including Raise Your Paws, which is sponsored by Nutrisource. It's about pets and dogs and nutrition, all that stuff. You can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. I want to thank our sponsors, Better Edge, BETTOR Edge, and Minnesota Propane. So here's an interesting thing, guys. Ober and Ryan have separated themselves from the pack as being the most promising young pitchers on this staff. But this team has actually played decent baseball lately. And suddenly, Colome is the closer they hoped he would be in April. Suddenly, the bullpen has been pretty functional. And they're even getting, you know, starts out of John Gant. How much of what we're seeing in terms of the pitching improvement, other than Ryan and Ober, is actually something you can maybe count on? Let's start with Lavelle.
Yeah, good points, Jim. And, you know, they're a little more healthy. They haven't had to deal with any COVID breaks since May. And so that there's more continuity in the lineup. Buxton's at the top of the lineup and playing center field. You know, and it's showing up. But the pitching staff, and you're right, it's more than Ryan and Ober. Gant looks like he's got stuff. I know he was very happy to come here from St. Louis. He told the St. Louis writers that he wanted an opportunity to start, and now he's got one, and he's proven that you know, he's not that bad. His walk rate since joining the Twins is drastically different than what it was with the Cardinals. He's around the plate more, and that's given himself a chance. Alexander Colomé has 12 saves since July 31st or something like that, and it's like tied for the major league lead. You know, after starting off disastrously, I don't know if that's a word. Sure. Colomé's been effective, man. He's found his form. He's keeping pitches down in his zone. He's not giving up grand slams like he did early in the season. It's kind of working. And so they have a closer now, so their bullpen's been able to kind of fall in line. Duffy's like the eighth inning guy, and he's doing solidly. Dobnak's getting healthier. Pineda's back. So, yeah, you're seeing things fall into place a little bit better. You know, the thing that stinks, though, is that when it mattered and when they needed to try to get back into the race, they just couldn't find that form.
And, Roy, is there anybody other than Ober and Ryan who's caught your eye, somebody you think could help next year?
I think John Gant can help. You don't know about makeup, and you don't know about ultimately about whether a guy can develop command of his pitches or not. On a stuff only basis, I think John Gant is a big league starter for the Twins. There's no doubt in my mind from a stuff only standpoint. Now, Lavelle alluded to his biggest issue, which has been walks, and he has cut those down. He has, I think, more to go to cut down those in order for him to be effective. But also, there's another part of being a little wild beyond, that really hurts a pitcher beyond just the walks. It's going ball two on people. Or getting strike one and then going ball three, three balls in a row. And Gant has had a tendency to do that as well. I mean, some of those ball two, you start out ball two or you start out strike one and then go three and one, they end up in the past, they end up in walks. Now he's been, so far with the Twins, he hasn't walked as many and he gets back in the count better, but that's too much Houdini stuff. I mean, he can't do that all the time. And to the degree that he picks out, he wants to say he has six pitches, right? And so what he's saying is two kinds of fastballs, two kinds of slider cutter. So, forcing fastball, sinking fastball, cutter, slider, then curveball and changeup. So there's always tends to be master of none in those kinds of scenarios. But all six of them are potential big league pitches. He's got to figure out, at the expense of a pitch or two, maybe, he's got to figure out what four that he can throw a strike. It'll be the Joe Ryan example, And if you got four pitches and you can Joe Ryan all four of them up there in the strike zone, then that stuff's going to play great. So I'm intrigued by, John Gant's stuff. It remains to be seen whether he can be, have great command. But I am intrigued by that. I'll have to say this about Colomé and the bullpen. The bullpen's been phenomenal for at least a month, if not pretty much since the All-Star break. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the bullpen started to get to really perform well once Colomé did. Once Colomé started saving games, then I don't care what they say about, we don't need a closer. We can match up and anybody can pitch anytime. And, Colomé has been a closer. He's been a really good closer for his whole career. And the other guys have not. And I really believe that it's important to have a guy that is the closer. and then everybody else knows their role. And you talk to Glenn Perkins, or you talk to a lot of guys in the bullpen, and they say the best scenario is when the phone rings down there in the bullpen, the guy that they want's already been loosened up because he knows that's his turn. You know, he knows that they know what they're going to call down there. And the bullpen has been better since, you know, since Column A has been good again. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, another guy I'd like to bring up too is I'm still intrigued by Juan Minaya.
Absolutely.
Yep, I want to see more from him. I like that splitter he throws, and he's got a good fastball. It's rather shocking that the Twins were able to land this guy, because it seems like he should have had more interest in him after the White Sox let him go. But he looks like he could be a weapon in the final three innings of a game as well.
Totally agree with that. I've liked him from the first time I saw him start throwing strikes again. I mean, he was throwing sliders, now, you know, missing with fastballs. They sent him back down. When he came back up, he started punishing guys with 95, you know, 95 mile an hour fastball with some life. And then that splitter is the real deal. I mean, it's very, very good. So again, everybody pretend they're Joe Ryan, and whatever stuff you got, throw it over.
Great advice. We're going to give you some more stuff, advice and thoughts on the Hall of Fame and some prospects we should be keeping an eye on. Lavelle tracks prospects very well for this, for my newspaper and for this network. We do want to thank our sponsors, Better Edge and Minnesota Propane. Better Edge is a great time to start betting on sports for fun as the NFL season kicks off and as college football really gets rolling.
Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge and a number of different sports and event competitions. Use code CHIN, C-H-I-N, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOR edge.com.
And we'd also like to thank Minnesota Propane, not just for the summer. No better time to grill than the fall, and I will even be using my grill in the winter.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy two heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy right now.
So, Val, as we you know, the whole storyline right now is what are they going to do for pitching next year? We've been talking about a lot of the present options. Which prospects could end up helping as soon as next year?
Well, the Twins were – Josh Winder, who started the season at Double-A, moved up to Triple-A, was on track to be called up like this month and make a couple starts for the Twins before he came down with, I think, a sore shoulder or something like that, and they decided to shut him down. But he made a lot of progress last year during the shutdown. Even though he didn't pitch in games, he worked on his body, got in great condition, and he came back throwing 97, and apparently has the basic four-pitch mix, but he could touch 97, so he's got a quality fastball, and he's got apparently he could change some speeds as well. So a lot of people are looking forward to like seeing him kind of get a shot here, but before he needed to be shut down. So he's a guy who's definitely going to be on the radar at some point next year. And then the two more in-house guys, Jordan Balazovic and Yoan Duran, both have pretty good fastballs. Duran has touched over 100 miles an hour with his. And he throws that goofy pitch, that split-fingered sinker that I've never heard of before. He calls it the splinker. So those two dudes had setbacks too. Shoulder for Duran, and Balazovic had a back problem, I believe. So mm-hmm. they had delayed starts to the season, and then Duran broke down again about a month ago, so they decided to shut him down. So they were wondering if he'd come back before the season and pitch a couple of games for the Saints, but I haven't heard any updates on him. But those guys will probably be in Major League camp next year and will be looked at as well. So those are three guys. And, of course, it's the other guys that they've received in trades here. the Troutman kid they received from Troutman was part of the Ryan trade, right? He's the second guy that mm-hmm. came from the Rays with Ryan. And then I can't remember the pitcher that they got from the Blue Jays in addition to Austin Martin, I mean, in the Barrios trade. So they got some other guys who should be knocking on the door at some point next year. So that's great. You know, I was on Twitter and someone mentioned on Twitter that a baseball person once said that in order to have three good starting pitching prospects, you need to start with a group of 10. You know, I think the Twins realized that and they built up their inventory of nearly ready arms. And some of this is going to start to bear fruit next season. But they still need an impact arm to top off the rotation. Preferably two quality arms, but you know I'm not gonna bang my fist on the table too hard on that, given the Twins' history of trying to find bargains through the free agent market rather than landing big time arms. But if they want to compete next year, they are going to have to consider investing in their rotation because no one's making money in the rotation next year. At the way it looks like now, there's no one making $2 million a year that's going to be in that rotation. So it's time for them to invest some cash in that starting rotation.
Let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. We're going to be talking about pitching and pitching prospects and everything else for the next 6 months at least. So let's talk about the Hall of Fame. The classes, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller. And I really don't want to go down the road of like debating and arguing and being outraged, the people who didn't make it in. I'm just interested. I'm going to throw this at you guys. Like Marvin Miller is one of the most important figures in modern baseball history, obviously. I mean, he made the Players Association ultra powerful, and that affected the way that business is run, the way the game is played, what players make, everything else. But do you guys like seeing non-uniform people in the Hall of Fame? I'd be okay with a Hall of Fame that didn't have anybody like Marvin Miller in it, anybody who, you know, who was pushing a pen instead of swinging a bat. Let's start with Roy on this one.
You know, I just think it should be for players. I understand the impact that non-players have had. Marvin, you're right, had a tremendous impact, and he should be remembered in the baseball industry somehow. And maybe have a non-playing wing or another hall somewhere near the main one. But you know, broadcasters, writers, union officials, I mean, I'm just not too excited about that personally. I get all the contributions that people in those roles have made. There are some Hall of Fame personalities and talents in various of those roles, and I get that. I don't have a strong feeling about it. I just think it the Hall of Fame. You know, my gut is, and I guess what I'm feeling here, because I haven't been asked that question before, and so now I guess what I'm feeling is, off the top of my head, I don't really care so much because I understand the contributions. My gut's just telling me, I just wish it were players.
Yeah, I'm with you. What do you think, Lavelle?
Well, as someone who's been to Cooperstown a couple times, it seems like when you walk through the museum, it's a celebration of the game, and I think the game is a little bit more than just the players. And I still think the players take center stage at the Hall of Fame, and especially when you walk into that room with all the Hall of Fame plaques they're at, it's really a rather awesome experience and just an awesome sight. But there's a lot of people who didn't play the game who had contributed, you know, to the growth of the game. And so I don't really mind the Marvin Millers of the world being inducted. And, you know, there's a writer's wing of the hall. Umpires are in the Hall of Fame. I think it's cool, like a Nestor Shylak or Doug Harvey, you know, are considered Hall of Fame umpires as well. So I'm for keeping it expanded to honor people who have made significant contributions to the game who are not players.
And I'm,
you know, you can talk me into that, Lavelle. You make some really good points, and you could talk me into that pretty easily. I don't have a strong feeling. And I think you're more right than I am about the baseball industry, about baseball being as big as it is because of, you know, more than just players. And I will say one other thing about what you just said. Nestor Shylak should be in a Hall of Fame if for no other reason than he was the biggest red ass umpire I have ever seen in my life. He eclipsed Bill Haller. He eclipsed Joe West. He was the littlest umpire and the biggest red ass ever.
All right, this sounds awesome. Like a story time with Roy Smalley.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Did you have like a personal run-in with Shylak?
Only one time, and it was because of a couple of reasons. One is because it was early in my career, and I was pretty much told to shut up, so I did. But secondly, nobody really had more than a couple run-ins with Nestor because he was going to get you one way or the other. He was going to get you. And I said something to him one time. He called me out when it might have been my rookie year or something my second year, and he called me out and I jumped on a little bit, you know, just said, "Oh, that ball's outside," or whatever I said. "Come on, Nestor." And he took his mask off and got in my face and basically told me that I should have a few more at bats under my belt before I dared say anything to him about where the ball was. So I go, "Okay, I guess I'll just go on out of the field now and I won't say anything else to Nestor Shylak."
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Well, hey, Marvin was a major figure. Derek Jeter was an easy guy to vote in. Larry Walker's stats were pretty overwhelming, even away from Coors Field. Ted Simmons, to me, is the intriguing guy in this class. You know, catchers, obviously, there aren't that many great hitting catchers in Major League Baseball history. It's why Joe Mauer is going to have a chance to go in the Hall of Fame, and he was a Hall of Fame player for the first 10 years of his career. Did you guys, from your two different perspectives, you know, watching baseball over the last 40 years, do you think Ted Simmons is a Hall of Famer? And let's go with Roy first.
No doubt in my mind. Absolutely no doubt. I think I thought it was wrong that it took this long. And again, I am driven from is this guy or that guy a Hall of Fame player? What drives my decision is, was he an acknowledged best at his position, you know, superior player at his position in his era? And I played against Ted Simmons when he was in Milwaukee. He started and had a wonderful, you know, just a tremendous career in St. Louis before that. He didn't let up when he got to Milwaukee. He was kind of the anchor in the middle of that lineup. You know, they had a bunch of guys, Robin Yalden, Paul Molitor, and Cecil Cooper and all that. But I got to tell you, you know, Ben Ogilvie, they had a great team. But, you know, when Simmons was on the team, it was better. And I just think a guy that could hit like that and catch, switching and catching, was that good an offensive player? There's just no doubt in my mind. You just think about the guys that I played against and who are the acknowledged best, and he was one of them.
Well, hey, you know, there's an 8-year run with Simmons where he had an OPS over 800, which is pretty doggone good. And considering that he was a catcher, which is maybe the most vital position on the field, being able to hit 300 with some power and driving runs. And I'm looking at his numbers here. He had back-to-back years where he was intentionally walked at least 19 times, and he was walked 25 times in 1977. That tells you that pitchers did not want any part of him if first base was open. So I think he's earned it. As someone who collected baseball cards in the early to mid to late 70s, he was like one of the first baseball cards I popped open when I had my first pack of Topps baseball cards opened up. So I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's well-deserved. He's probably one of the best hitters at his position, a demanding position in addition to that. And do I think Mauer has a chance of getting in? I definitely do. Don't know if he's going to be a first ballot guy, But Maurer's 10 years of, as a catcher, three batting titles, which has not been done by a catcher, MVP in 2009. I think it's going to be enough for him to I think people are going to forget his last 5 years as a first baseman. Focus on his 10 as a catcher, and he'll join Tim Simmons as catchers in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you. And that's a great topic to elaborate on at length in a future podcast. Now, we're gonna let you go. We're going to get back to talking about the Twins, whatever happens with the Twins the next week or so, and about pitching. And I want to talk more in depth about Max Kepler and his future. For today, we want to thank Better Edge and Minnesota Propane. Thanks again to Brandon Morton. You've been listening to Roy Smalley, former Twins great and current Twins broadcaster, Lavelle Eneal III, columnist for the Star Tribune, and Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. We appreciate you listening. Check out the rest of the shows at TalkNorth.com, and we will talk to you next week.